Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us for another week of fun and games and fantastic stories. That's what we're going to have.
There's games?
I was going to say, we got games today?
Yeah. Well, of course, we always do. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
It's part of the gig, right? Play follow along. If, I don't know, pick a word, and if I say it more than three times, it turns it into a drinking game.
Oh, boy.
This airs in the morning, usually.
We're going to talk a little bit about Lake Michigan, fishing Lake Michigan, catching fish in small boats, what you can do to do that. We're also going to be talking about the funniest story I've ever heard, but learn to fish with these fishing essentials from a major news outlet that I think they need to have a little maybe vetting process for their writers. That and more. You want to hear this when we come back.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Good to see you, Ava. Don?
Good to be seen, as always.
We are here.
Yes, we are. And I'm having fun. I got to tell you, I'm just waiting for you guys to say something. You got nothing for me, do you?
You've been on the water a lot this year, which is wonderful.
I've been on the water, yes, and it feels amazing. And really, being out in a different body of water in Lake Michigan this year, a lot has been a change. It's put perspective on bigger boat fishing. Obviously, we're running a 34 pursuit, but you know, you come to realize that with the weather and everything else, it's mainly just a bigger fishing platform that you don't have to have to enjoy that same type of fishing. And I think that's key, Don.
Yes.
So
I think a lot of people would like to know that.
Yeah. And it, you know, there's a couple things that I think are going to be a necessity, but they don't have to cost a lot. Line counter reels. It doesn't have to cost a lot. You can get, you know, we run Shimano's, but you could get some Okumas. It doesn't have to be a high-end rod. Just make sure you get some planer board rods and make sure you get some downrigger rods. So probably six rods with line counters.
How deep do you have to go with your downriggers?
Last week was 60 feet down over 180 feet of water.
So you're down 60 feet.
Yep. And you don't have to have it doesn't have to be an electric downrigger. It doesn't have to have remote connection to your electronics. No, it doesn't have to have any of that.
They've got the reel type.
Yeah, I mean, a standard reel type. Electric is nice if you want to just hit the button and have it come up or whatever. That's fine too. They're not that expensive to put on the boat. You have them on a removable track or just a short track for each one. If you want two is fine. You can put two. Right. Dipsy divers are going to get you deep and enough where you can run those as a mid-level or mid-depth.
How far can you get down with them?
Probably 60 feet, 50 feet.
So you could get by without downriggers if you needed to.
I would say use downriggers because you need to have the spread. The spread of the lines is going to be the big help. And to give you guys an idea, dipsy diver is basically it's a disc that has weight on it, and you can turn the weight so it'll either pull straight down off the side of the boat or pull off to the side. So you have a non-weighted lure, maybe a 1 foot long Dodger, we call them. It's a horse spinner rig. And then it's all flasher. It's called flasher flies. So a flasher and then a regular fly that's probably tinsel, about 3.5 inches long with a couple hooks in it, a single treble or single hooks in it. And you set that out in a rod holder. So rod holders are going to be something you need to have. You're not going to hold on to it all day long. That's not, you're not going to hang on to it for an hour. A dipsy diver is a rod holder.
You're going to get really tired of holding on to it.
Even for 3 minutes, you'd be done, spent, and call it a day.
Right.
So those key things are there. Graphs, you don't have to have the most expensive graph. All you need to do is be able to mark fish. If you can mark fish, that's a big thing. A 2D, a high-end 2D, that's fine. Two-dimension, meaning a regular cone angle. That's a piece that goes into it. And again, flasher flies, that's it. You really don't need to do anything else, just a method to get the baits down. When it comes to coho, Don,
right?
You just go with a metal 4.5-inch or 4-inch dodger and a fly, a peanut fly, we call it. And you can run that with just planer boards. So planer boards would be the third thing. So planer boards, you run 5/8 of an ounce, 30 feet back. All those fish this spring, that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you're talking about trolling here.
Yeah.
Trolling. But you can fish them vertically. You can do that as well.
You can. There's certain times of the year when the fish will be available to do that and certain, you know, parts of
areas.
The marina to do it.
Yeah.
But trolling is generally going to be the best methodology to do it, to catch those fish.
I'm just saying, if you don't have all the trolling equipment.
Yeah, you can try to do, you know, you can give it a shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can vertical.
I mean, you got to find the fish, of course.
Jig and wrap. And it's usually inside the marinas or anywhere there's an outflow of current. Those fish will be in that particular area. And really, it provides us with some extensive opportunities that you don't normally have for some good fighting fish.
Right.
And you wouldn't expect it. And you don't, 16-foot boat, no problem. You can do it. Make sure you mount the probably 6, 7, maybe 8 rod holders on the back, towards the back of the boat. A couple for 3, 4 for planer boards. The downriggers usually have a rod holder on that already. So those, that's 2 rods there. And then a couple for the dipsies, and you're good. You can have 3 rods apiece out there.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I would advise, just to give you a handle on what is going on, get 3 or 4 guys together that you plan on going fishing with and go out and get a charter. Charter will make sure you're observing what they're doing. That's going to give you the solid understanding of how to approach it, what to do,
right,
and then adapt it to your small boat. And that's really cool. So
consider that your education.
Yes. Give it a shot, you guys. It's well worth it. I've had more fun catching some of those big fish this last weekend. A couple 37-inch kings, 35-inch rainbow. Lots of cool stuff with those. I mean, just and a bunch of coho. So it's been good, really good. And again, the weather doesn't necessarily get that rough. You just watch the wind.
Well, I think, anybody wise has got it. Keep an eye on the weather.
Yeah, as always.
Big water.
All right, stay tuned. We are coming right back. We're going to learn how to fish with these fishing essentials coming right up. Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back and hanging out with us. And we always like to have you guys check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. And Ava?
Facebook as well.
Yes, absolutely. Lots of cool places to go check out what we do and how we do it, etc., etc. And, we're going to tease, Don. We talked about it a little bit off the air. We do have a new sponsor coming on board, which is kind of cool.
We're
not going to say who it is yet, but we will. Next week, we'll be making that announcement, which is going to be
real soon. I don't
super
know if we'll
cool.
get her next week or not, but.
Well, we can make the soon. Announcement, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's going to be good. We kind of like it. I'm pushing Don on this one.
Yeah.
All right. So the much teased, much, anticipated, highlighted story that I happened to come across today was on a major news outlet that decided that they wanted to be part of the outdoor world.
Yeah.
You know how that's worked for them in the past with talking about guns, right?
Well, I mean, it's actually entertaining to hear some of the national news correspondents talk or pundits about things, and you go, they have no idea what they're talking about.
None of the words are correct or anything, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to say where this came from, but I will say so follow along with me. It's the Learn to Fish with These Fishing Essentials is the header.
Okay.
Grab a rod and reel and some bait and start fishing today. The subheader.
That's all you need.
Fishing season's officially here. If you've always wanted to try fishing but have no idea where to start, we've lined up 10 items beginners need to get started. We can help you find the right fishing pole, the right bait, and everything in between. Before you get started, always make sure you have a fishing license. Most states require a fishing license to fish on public and private property. Without a license, you may face a substantial fine. To get everything you need to start fishing ASAP, consider becoming a online member of this particular shopping network. The benefits and da-da-da-da-da, right? Okay, so I'm not going to go into that because I don't feel it's worth it. So, fishing rod and reel. The key component to any fishing trip is the right rod and reel. Seasoned fishermen and women likely have an arsenal of fishing rods to choose from, but as a beginner, you want one that's easy to manage while you're still learning. The spinning rod combo, now this is a spin cast rod reel.
Spin cast.
Spin cast, meaning it has a cap over the front, the line is in the middle.
Zebco type.
And it's generally an immediate disaster because the line's kinked up and it's too heavy and everything else. Counter to that would be, Don, what rod would you recommend to start out with that works quite well? A spinning reel?
A spinning type rod.
A spinning spinning rod reel.
Not on a spin cast, though.
No. That's what they say, spin cast. You want to get a spinning rod and reel combo is what
Correct.
You want to have.
Right.
It's easy to cast. It's more functional. And you can use all sorts of baits with it instead of, you can't run light little tiny jigs.
Right.
Okay.
Just keep in mind, what you're talking about isn't what we would recommend.
No, this is what we're reading to you is not what we recommend. We'll make the commentary of what we do recommend. That's why I was asking.
Well, this is the game we're playing.
Uh-huh. There you go. So, this one is less than $25 and easy to use. That's considered a throwaway. You don't want to buy a throwaway because your experience will not be good.
It's like a Barbie rod, you know.
That's what it was, Don. The photo was a Barbie rod.
Oh, my goodness.
Not Barbie per se, but
right.
Exactly.
It was pink.
It was, no. No. Okay, hooks. Now, they label hooks in specific. You won't catch fish without hooks. You can get many baits and lures that have built-in hooks, but if you plan to use live bait like worms, you'll need to separate the hooks and put them on. They often have oversized pack of fishing hooks in different sizes, so you can customize your rod based on the type of fish you're likely to catch in your area. They have a smaller pack for anyone just looking to try fishing out, but who doesn't want to fully commit to buying dozens of hooks. Now, the pictures of the hooks are, Don, okay, these hooks are, they're offset, number one. They're not what you would use as a beginner and for much of anything besides
bass.
Yeah, but even then, it's more of an odd type hook, so it's not something that would necessarily be for panfish and crappies and something.
I can say I don't own any of those.
So our recommendation is you can go in, you can get a crappie pack. That's easy. Don't go out and get these massive hooks that are crazy. Don't do it. Go look. You can find some good number sixes, number eight hooks. Aberdeen is good if you're going to go for panfish and crappies because the longer shank is easier to get the hook out. And that's usually one of those things that people have a problem with in the beginners when they're fishing. Baits and lures. Big step next. Baits and lures are vital to attract fish for your casting. Different fish react to different types of baits or lures. Look up the type of fish in your local swimming holes. before committing to one type of lure or bait. There are many variety packs of fishing lures out there. That's good for getting you started. You can also get a mystery tackle box. There's a company that sells that based on the type of fish in your area. Really? My recommendation? Jigs, number one. I would get a quarter ounce jig. I would get it in orange. And I would get it orange, yellow, and I would get it in chartreuse. And I would be looking at probably a plastic 3.5 or 4 inch paddle tail minnow piece of plastic that would go on there. And then I would also look at getting live minnows, like fathead type minnows. Those are going to be your most successful bait if you want to use jigs. End of story. If you're talking to somebody that has no idea about fishing, yeah,
they have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, we're
they don't understand.
They know
I
jigs.
I do have a suggestion.
They know jigs.
I do have a suggestion.
What's your suggestion?
If you would like to learn how to fish, no matter where you are, I'll bet if you go on social media, Facebook, whatever, and ask if there's any local fishermen in here that would show you in a half an hour.
Or a bait shop. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
They will be happy to walk you right through the whole process.
Yep. Absolutely.
At least get started.
Now, let's jump into the next one. Tackle box, Don. A tackle box helps you carry the lures, baits, hooks, and anything else you need to fish with. Beginners don't need one of the huge tackle boxes that fit every fishing accessory ever bought. Instead, a simple two-tier box. And there's a photo, and it said, this one from where?
Plan Outdoors.
I didn't know there was a Plan Outdoors. It's Plano Outdoors.
Right.
Correction on that as well. You don't buy a two-tier tackle box. You're going to buy a soft-side tackle box that has the
trays.
Multiple little boxes
yep.
in it. You're planning for the future. You're not spending a ton of money. It's a simple, easy way to go fishing and not have this clunky...
Keep all your
keep everything as it goes. Yep. The other thing I didn't realize was an important piece was waterproof shoes. Don is actually speechless. It doesn't happen often, but he did get caught not knowing what to say to that one.
Water, I mean, first of all, it depends upon where you're fishing. If you're way up north where it's cold, you might want to have waterproof shoes. And other than that, most of the time, you're in flip-flops.
You can fish with any types of shoes, the article says, but as you get more advanced, waterproof shoes can help you avoid ruining other shoes.
Brilliant.
Okay?
Brilliant.
Rip. Okay. Now, how about a fishing hat? You got to have a fishing hat if you're a fisherman, right?
Of course. Well, this is safety now. It's getting sunburned, right?
Hot sun during warm weather months. A hat keeps the sun out of your face, helps you stay cool. Certain wide-brim hats that are breathable and affordable, they're easy to wear and provide protection from the sun.
That's probably the smartest thing they've said so far.
Some people have no idea.
You'd be... Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, you'd be correct. A cooler, Don.
Oh.
What do you need that for?
Snacks.
Once you
and
actually,
beverages.
This is the funniest part. No, well, not quite yet. Once you actually catch a fish, you need to store it safely until you get home. A cooler keeps the fish cold as well as any drinks you bring along with you while you're fishing.
You are not putting a
fish in with your drinks?
A fish in there with your food and drinks.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, yeah.
According to this article, yes, you are. It says go with a classic and bring an igloo with 25 quart cooler, plenty of day out on the lake, plenty of room for day on the lake. It's here it says plenty for a day out in the lake, but also has plenty of space and takes up less room in your car.
What happened? I was all for it, and then now I'm not.
And of course, one of the last items, not least.
These are essentials, by the way.
Yeah, these apparently are essentials. I I'm not going to put my fish in with what I brought to have for beverages. It's just not going to happen.
Do not do that.
Unless you're out for a long day and everything is now past tense, but you're going to put it in there and it's not, yeah.
No.
A fishing knife is a very important piece, apparently.
Yes, if you catch any fish, it might be.
Okay, anybody at home that has a knife set, there's a fillet knife in their knife set, right? You don't need to go buy one special. As a beginner, filleting fish can be intimidating, but it's important to learn so you don't get any bones while you're eating the fish. Learning how to debone a fish starts with the right fishing knife. A sharp fillet knife in different lengths, complete with a sheath for safety, and also a folding one if you want it for easy travel. So let me think. You're going to fillet the fish on the shore and then put them into your cooler with your beverages and sandwiches and then go home.
Sorry, sounds like guys. A plan, Stan.
I'm, needless to say.
I just don't highly recommend that plan. I say no. Go to the bait shop or tackle shop or the retailer and they will help you through it.
That's your best bet. Go to fishing seminars. All the sporting good stores in spring and they'll have those for you and, you know, or submit a question to us and we can answer for you too.
Yes. That works. By all means.
Yep. Story out of Woodruff, Wisconsin. A wolf grabbed a dog just 15 feet from her owner. Pretty crazy. This particular woman found out the hard way that a wolf could be right next to her. 6:30 a.m. on last Tuesday, she let her dogs out in the morning, as she always did, her Labrador Retriever and Great Dane ventured out in the yard. Then a Chihuahua stuck close by. Suddenly, the wolf came around the corner, grabbed the Chihuahua, and bolted off. She said, I was screaming and chasing after him, and he wouldn't drop the dog. Said through tears, they could do nothing but watch the wolf run off with the 11-year-old Texas in its mouth. Other kids come over and play. Didn't even know if we can let my son outside anymore. They did the right thing, called the incident in right away. The game warden came out to check out the incident. They found the wolf tracks, and he told her it would be a wolf depredation situation. Also told her that the call was an isolated incident and there was not a wolf pack in the area. Sentiment was not shared by all, however. There's a state forest immediately south of here. Randy Johnson, DNR large carnivore biologist, said in Rhinelander, it's certainly a pack in the state's forest without question. When asked if the incident could somehow be related to an incident in February where dogs in an outdoor kennel near home were harassed by a pack of wolves, he said those two locations are pretty far apart. Wrong place at the wrong time. The most recent incident, he said it was simply a case of that. He said it just sucks. It's hard to say how often wolves are coming into town, but with the state forest just south and east of Woodruff and the Corrin home, he said there was certainly a pack of wolves that lived in the area. The fact that the towns of Woodruff and Arbivite have high densities of deer could mean the wolves would be attracted to both towns.
I would challenge that they were not, they were too far apart. And remember, we had the story last year about the collared wolf that traveled from northern Wisconsin all the way down to La Crosse,
and
Wisconsin.
Then back up
across the Mississippi. How that happened, we
don't know.
Went all the way up to Fargo and then up into Canada.
Yeah.
And then came back into Minnesota.
Yep.
And then got shot somehow.
Yeah. Not sure how.
Yeah.
The next move, Denise, the woman had her dog attacked, lives with her children, now two dogs, and along Highway J, and she does what she does every morning, and done it the same way every time. And unfortunately, what do you do with that particular situation?
She never saw it, I wonder. That's amazing. Pretty scary,
I shouldn't have a fear going outside of my own yard with my family, kids, and my pets. I feel like I'm living in my prison now. I'm not going to stop until something is done about this. Reach out to elected officials and pledges to become an advocate for controlling the Wisconsin wolf population and reinstating hunting season as a way to do it. Officials in Washington County are going to get tired of hearing from me. I will leave messages every day. I don't care. This should not have happened, and to think what would have happened if it's even worse. What could have happened is even worse. And The rise of wolf attacks proves there's an urgent need to delist them from the Endangered Species Act. Story goes on, but again, vigilance is the key piece to the puzzle here. Killing wolf in self-defense of a pet is still against the law. She also felt it was difficult to know when another incident might take place. I don't know.
Very unfortunate.
Yeah, it's... I thought it was one of those stories where you kind of look at it and picture what goes on, because I think most areas that we're in Minnesota and Wisconsin have become an area where the wolves will or could be. You've seen mountain lion in your backyard.
Yeah, just down the street.
That's in Red Wing.
Yeah. I honestly, just this morning, was having breakfast with some friends that showed me a clip off his trail cam in his backyard of his cabin in Wisconsin. They had about a 350-pound bear, 400-pound, big bear.
Mm.
It was really, really pretty, but he was making havoc with his bird feeders.
I think the bear needs to pick a different source of food, because that's not going to cut it for his main meal.
Oh, no.
That's it. Was dessert that was or
dessert.
Something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or appetizer.
Well, wood. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. And, you know, go out and have some fun this weekend. Go catch some fish. Just flat out enjoy the outdoors. For Don and Abe and myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors, and we are out.